The Lord be with you.
And
a reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native tongue.' The things that we heard were done in Capernaum." And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to the widow Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through them and went away." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. And what makes this morning so good is that all of you are here. That makes it so good. That all of us are here to worship our good God. The rich young man encountered Jesus and said, "What good must I do?" Jesus says, "Why you ask me? Only God is good," right? So what brings us here is our good God, and that's what makes it a good morning. Because God's given this morning to us. And how beautiful it is we're here as brothers and sisters in Christ for this encounter with our Lord. And I'd like to propose this morning, let us enter into a reflection with the living Word of God. A reflection that you and I'm with you, I'm walking with you. We can carry it into the next week to prepare for the four-part message series that's going to follow next week, starting next week. See, we're trying to stay in message series so that all of us, ourselves included, those of us preaching, that all of us, we not just have something for our Sunday, but we have something for our Monday or our Wednesday and our Friday to carry us through. Here's a reflection. Think of a moment in your life, and you little ones, you can think too, because they're there. They were there when I was your age, even your age. You're a little one, I was your age once too, right? Think of a moment in your life standing up for something righteous or good where you were required to become uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Take a moment to think about that. If we're all honest, we've all had those moments where one way, shape, or form, the Holy Spirit moved us or something happened, and we're able to stand up for something that was truly, truly good, good in the eyes of God, and actually become uncomfortable. Maybe it was for you at a place of work, a meeting, challenging someone or encouraging somebody or building someone up where you don't get the attention, but they do. Maybe for you little ones, it's that uncomfortable if you know deep down in your heart that mom and dad ask you to not have that Reese's peanut butter cup, which father loves, right before dinner, and you just decide in your head, "I'm going to be uncomfortable and I'm going to eat my broccoli. I like broccoli now. I didn't like broccoli then. My mom had to put the cheese on it, you know? Made it taste good." Maybe it's those of you who like to swim, right? It's going to swim practice right there, and you're towing your line right over the edge, and you're looking, and it's one of these cold mornings. You're like, swim practice, bright and early, and you're like, it's going to be cold. But your coach is saying, you can do it, get in the pool. And you choose to be uncomfortable. Those are various experiences we may have had in different ways, right? But there's been moments where we've been called to step out and be uncomfortable for something good. We look at the gospel today, Jesus, that was a pretty uncomfortable moment. I mean, he could have just hung out with all the praising, right? Just like when he came in on Palm Sunday, he could have said, I'm just going to stick around with everybody saying, Hail the Messiah. I'm good with that. But he had a different type of idea of what it meant to be the Messiah. He had a different type of an idea of what it meant to truly show a better way, something even better, more excellent way, as St. Paul speaks about in Corinthians. I'll show you a more excellent way. And that way is not just a way, it's a person, it's Jesus. And Jesus came to show them and through them to show us the way. Because, you know, all those people that were in that synagogue, him being true God and true man, he knew them before they were formed in their mother's womb. Just like he knew us in that moment of time, true God and true man, as he stepped in the synagogue. Think about this. That he knew you and me by name. He knew us. And that we'd be here right now worshiping him. How's that possible? I don't know. He's God and we're not, right? But Jesus himself chose to be uncomfortable. For Jesus, he was uncomfortable in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane to do the Father's will. That was totally uncomfortable. And I believe that if we look at his life, there were countless little moments, even probably when he was a child, where not all the libraries and books in the world could cover everything that happened, as St. John ends his gospel saying, even with a child, he chose to be uncomfortable, as you little ones can on the playground and in your homes, in the carpentry shop with St. Joseph, to carry that extra log or help his dad in a way when maybe he really wanted to play. And he chose to be uncomfortable. And what was an engine behind that was his love. That type of love that moved him to a level of uncomfort for you and for me. Uncomfortable. How is uncomfortable defined for us Christians? For us who choose to follow Jesus Christ, how is that defined? Jesus lays it out in the same gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23. He says, if anybody wishes to come after me, he or she must take up their cross daily and follow me. The cross is uncomfortable. The cross for Jesus was uncomfortable. But all those moments of uncomfort in his life as he walked his walk and prayed with his heavenly Father every day and was united with him, prepared him for that most uncomfortable moment where he literally sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane for you and me to finally say yes to his heavenly Father. I want to share with you a moment where I kind of missed the mark on being uncomfortable. I mentioned to some of you that I had the grace, and it was an awesome experience, to be in the U.S. Army and serve our country. And I was able to follow in the footsteps of my brother-in-law, who I immensely look up to this day, because he was an Army Ranger and an instructor, and he used to come over when I was a teenager in high school when he was dating my sister and tell all the stories of coming down fast rope, kicking in windows, and jumping out of planes. I thought it was pretty cool. So I went to Bellman Abbey College and then UNC Charlotte and did ROTC. Next thing you know, I found myself in Ranger School. And in Ranger School, there was a desert phase. And Ranger School was all about teaching those soldiers, creating an environment that wasn't real, but that was training in order to get really, really uncomfortable so you knew how to operate in a state of uncomfort. And the only way you can get through Ranger school or Special Forces school or Navy SEAL school or Delta Force or any of that is if what becomes the engine behind your uncomfort, a certain degree of willingness to sacrifice to your brother in arms, to your left and right. And in the desert, they would tell us, be careful, because it gets really cold at night. It's hot as anything during the day. Really cold at night. And that sand, because it's so hot during the day, is warm at night. And they would tell us not to do the rucksack flop. Okay? Which means, I mean, your knees hurt because the sand, we didn't have knee pads back then. You'd sit down and you'd flop back and the sand was so warm and you get super duper comfortable. But thanks to it once, one of my buddies had my side and was watching me. Keep an eye on me, because if the instructors caught you, you'd get a major minus and you could get kicked out of the school. Literally, for falling asleep, for getting too comfortable, you get kicked out of the school. And you'd be so tired because you sleep like 2 hours a night, you get one meal a day. I went from 175 pounds down to 130 pounds. My parents didn't even recognize me at my graduation, could count all my bones. I walked right by my mom. I'm like, Mom! She's like, who are you? Who are you? So, I mean, it was real. It was real. But I remember doing that rucksack flop, and I was there, and I was really comfortable. And when you're so tired, you literally start at times to hallucinate. You'll see things. People talk about it. I'm like, come on, really? So I'm sitting there, and I'm like reaching out, and I'm like, hey. I'm talking to my buddy. It's like sleepwalking. I'm like, hey, can you help me get it? He goes, be quiet. It's at night. We were pulling security. He goes, what do you want? And I was reaching out, and I was like, hey, can you grab that for me? And it's actually entertaining. And he's like, what? And he goes, there's a box of Dunkin' Donuts right here. And I was reaching. So my comfort led me to even more comfort, right? But I woke up out of it. But anyways, there's other stories that come in, but it's great to have people alongside you journeying in the military. It's just a story, but it's great to have people. And we journey alongside each other, left and right. We're here together in this good morning to support each other and encourage each other so that we don't fall asleep. We don't get too comfortable. Because as Christians, we're called to step out of our comfort zone. We're called to imitate Jesus as his disciples, to take up our cross daily and follow him. So here's the invitation for the week. Here's the invitation for the week. How might I, and this is a question for me too, how might I desire to become uncomfortable in following Jesus just this week? You know where I'm going, right? Desire. We not just desire to be uncomfortable, no. How might I, in my prayer this week, desire? Lord, grant me the desire to desire the desire to follow you. You see, all the great saints who preceded us, all of them had one thing in common if we read the lives of the saints. They all, with the help of God's grace, mustered up the courage to be uncomfortable. To be a little uncomfortable. And uncomfortable doesn't mean that you're not going to have your Mount Tabor moments where Jesus is transfigured and your faith is just one big glorious. If you're on Mount Tabor right now, good for you. Stay up there and keep talking to Jesus. But he took his disciples up there, his apostles up there, the three, to bring them back down the mountain, and he went to prefigure and tell them with Moses and Elijah that he was going to the cross. There's nothing wrong with being on a Mount Tabor if we know ultimately where we're going. There's nothing wrong if you find yourself on a Mount of Beatitudes. Nothing wrong with that. You find yourself on a Mount of Beatitudes with a glorious view of the Sea of Galilee in your life, and Jesus is speaking, and the birds are chirping, and everything's just wonderful for you. Stay with it. As long as you can stay with it. But Jesus is going to take us from the Beatitudes and Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, because that's the promise. That's the promise. We're not always going to stay there because we got to go where? We got to go to Calvary. We're called to walk with him to Calvary, to take up our cross and follow him. So if you find yourself in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you find yourself really struggling right now, pray to Jesus, each one of us. Dear Jesus, help me this week. Help me desire the desire to become uncomfortable and to embrace my cross and to follow you, to imitate you. Because that's where my joy is going to be complete. That is the more excellent way St. Paul speaks about. That is Christian love, where we push ourselves out of a comfort zone. So that leads me to close with our theme for the next 4 weeks. There is a better way. There is